This is CliffCentral.com.
Hi, it's your boy MJ Sings on Kimo T Vibe, Cliff Central. Noni lutando la copa.
You think you know me?
Sami fumeno tando. Talangi gufuna love you up. Sangi fumeno tando. Talangi gufuna love you up.
Alright, so welcome to another exciting episode of the Gilmore T Vibe here on Cliff Central. And you know what? Last week I celebrated 1 year on the station. That's such a milestone for me. I'm excited. Yeah. It's crazy. Thank you. So we have actually MJ Sings in the house. Are you going to be singing or are you going to be screaming for us
today? I think I'll be screaming today.
You're going to be screaming to the end for Laura. Laura said we should spell her name as L-A-U-R-A. It's not Laura like Laura Kraft. Whatever. What's her name? Angelina Jolie?
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie.
I
don't
want to put an O like L-O-R-A.
No,
I. Laura. Like
no.
Laura. Guys, how's it going?
Laura.
Oh,
Laura
good.
Five.
What's happening in Zimbabwe?
There's a lot.
You know.
There's a lot.
Life and things.
It's hard to digest.
It's hard, yeah.
Is it hard in Zimbabwe? I think Zimbabwe is like such a cool place to stay. Like, you need, it's like you get life skills and after this you put on the CV like, I stayed in Zimbabwe.
I stayed in Zimbabwe.
I grew up in Zimbabwe, and then they give me a job immediately.
Yeah, true. It's one of those good things. Where, like, how did you even survive? Like, if you can survive Zim, then you can survive anywhere in the world.
Yeah,
I think that's the thing. But then also, do you feel like maybe because we always bring this to picture, that's why we are not working towards improving our country as a people? Because we always say, no, we're meant to go through these things. But how long are we supposed to go through such hardships in Zimbabwe?
I think we've now taken this whole mentality, like that whole, like the stepson, like that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You now numb.
You don't even feel
any pain anymore. So we've stopped complaining. We learn to adjust,
and you just like, you know what? It's life. Let's just focus on surviving.
Which is bad.
So what are you guys doing to survive? So tell me about it. Because you're young people, what do you do to survive on a day-to-day basis?
I think with young people, it all boils down to just your dreams.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, okay, I'm in uni now. I want to leave the country for work. It's now all about just leave the country, basically.
Wow. But then I want to leave the country. There's already four million Zimbabweans that are across everywhere. I think in South Africa, in the UK, in the USA, everywhere.
Right?
If we constantly leave our country, then who is actually going to remain behind and do anything that has to do with solving issues in Zimbabwe?
It's sad because I feel like the situation has done that. It has forced people to leave, and it's not like they enjoy life that side.
Mm. Mm, it's harder.
It's
that
harder
side,
that
actually.
Side
because
you're in a foreign country and.
It's not like you can't just, hey, Murisei, you know, you just have to.
And most guys are illegal, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Most guys leave illegally that side, so it's quite tough.
The thing is, like, you know what? I think overseas in general is not just as beautiful as it looks like on TV.
Mm.
I mean, first of all, when you go, let's say, to the US, and the moment you step in there, you're already Black American.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot of stereotype towards Black Americans. There's a lot of inequalities towards Black Americans.
True.
So, the moment, it's only that when you open your mouth that they will tell, this guy's not from the US. Where are you from? But the first thing that they see, you're Black American. And Black Americans are struggling in the US. Most of them have, you know, it's not everyone is Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Not everyone is going to the Global Citizen and whatever to perform, but most of the Black people in the US are literally struggling because there's imbalances, there's inequality and things like that.
Mm.
So it's sad, no?
It is.
You have to work hard. I mean, as a foreigner and in any foreign country, you have to work hard.
And now you're forced to even cut out your social life because
you have
don't
to
have
two
friends,
jobs, three jobs. You have to make ends meet for
and
yourself and your family back home.
Because everyone is expecting you to do something.
Christmas, everyone's like, yeah, my list, you know, my things.
You can't really be like,
no, I can't, because you're the breadwinner initially now because you've left the country, so.
Isn't that too much pressure though for people? Like,
it's a lot of pressure.
So let me go to you guys. MJ, you are a musician, like an incredibly talented musician in Zimbabwe.
That's right.
And I feel like Or you are just maybe staying in the wrong city in Zimbabwe. When you talk about Zimbabwe, we can't run away from marginalization.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not in Harare, things don't happen. But should we always cry if someone doesn't stay in Harare, that's why opportunities are not coming to them? Or we need to wake up and do something about it?
I think we need to wake up. We need to start seeing the positive side in all this. Because right now, the advantage of being in Bulawayo, we have time to do things differently. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot that's happening in Harare. They don't even have time to create something new.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good thing to be from Bulawayo. Mm-hmm. And right now, I'm starting to see the positive sides, and I'm trying to do things differently and make the impossible thing be possible. Because I don't know, people think that it's tough for Bulawayo musicians to make it or even out there. Uh-huh. But look at the likes of Awobe Ezela, they've already paved the way for us.
I think in general, Bulawayo artists, or Bulawayo art as a whole in Zimbabwe, Bulawayo artists in general, they come from Bulawayo and they go to the world.
Mm.
With Harare based artists, they sort of like
stay there,
and then when they go and perform in the UK and the USA, they're performing for a group of Zimbabweans there.
Yeah. And don't know that.
You know what I'm saying? That's the situation. Excuse goes and tours Canada, but it's performing for
the Zimbabweans. Yeah.
But when you look at people like Black Mfolosi, Nobuntu, Sebengezelas, when they go overseas, they're performing
for
a larger audience.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the beauty of coming from a city like Bulawayo.
It's a place that prepares you for the world. Like, it's a real place.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. This is a real place.
Laura.
This is where you finish your 10,000 hours.
Right.
You step out to say there's Imali out there. Mm-hmm. But this is the place where you can rehearse and practice your whole act.
But how long have you been doing music for? Why did you choose? How long and why did you choose to take music as a career?
What I always tell people is that I really wasn't a musician at first. I won't lie.
What, were you a stripper?
No, like if you had most musicians who are like, hey, I started singing when I was 5, 4, or all that. I started singing when I was about 14.
Okay, not when you were 5. Because other people are like, oh, I started singing when I was 5. You know, I was really performing
my family.
Everybody was singing when they were young.
Mm-hmm.
So what most people don't understand is singing is you skill yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You learn how to sing.
Oh, is it? You're not born with it.
It's
not an inborn thing.
It's rare to get people who are born with that, but you learn how to sing.
Really?
It's more like rapping.
Okay.
You find someone who starts rapping after 19 years of their lives, and you're like, bruh, I didn't know you can rap like Sesoro.
Yeah.
Now you're all this big artist.
But don't you think also it's something that you're born with? Because obviously everyone is born with something that you need
then
to
you see
build
later.
You need to build it or something like that.
Yeah.
That's true also.
But your take is different from mine, obviously.
It's different because I had to put in work. I had to stay at home like for maybe 2 months in Apumpandi, just trying to sing that song the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So at 13, that's where I started, when I started doing that.
Would you remember the very first song that you sang that sort of like helped you with your vocals or that made you realize, oh, I can sing?
So the funny part is I was in a group at church. So every time I started singing, the guys would laugh at me. Then I was like, okay, let me go back home and rehearse this song up until I get it. And it was Ziyosura. And you know it by choice.
I don't know, you can sing it.
Ziyosura Inyembezi.
Oh yeah.
So I was like, okay, you know,
come on now.
Carry on. It's fine. Carry on. You know.
Like, you know, your guys laughed at me. I'm gonna learn the song. So for about 2 months, I was learning that song. And when I went to church after 2 months, trust me, the mothers were like all in tears. And
Were they like dropping on the floor, rolling in the deep like Adele?
They were just everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, my guy doing his thing.
Fire.
Guy and I are like in the opposite. But hey, that's a story for another day. Okay, that's dope. And what's like the first project that you were like, you know what, this defines me, this is it?
Okay, so when I was during the whole process of learning songs, I started writing songs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I wrote the first song.
You write your own songs?
I write my own songs.
Oh,
for other people also.
Well, for other people, who have you written songs for?
There's a DJ in SA called DJ Soup.
Uh-huh.
And we've wrote some stuff for Donald, Lucy.
You have written for that?
Let's keep it on the low.
You have written for Donald and Lucy.
Yeah, so the whole... The time when I was in SA, I was just focusing on songwriting.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And
like Donald.
You're in denial, You're in denial.
So, wow. The first song I wrote was for my group. It was called Mue.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote the song, then we recorded it. And the chicks went crazy over the song. They're like, this guy is quite good. So then that's when I started writing my music. And later on, I wrote to Our Story, which was recorded by Kelvin. And that's the weird thing. It just blew up. Like, I was getting calls. I remember even SA. I got a call from the Sony A&R.
Look at you.
And I was like, yeah, big things.
You guys, you know, paying now.
Big that's things. Your song.
Can we have a meeting with you, like, as soon as possible?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, let me continue writing music.
Oh, wow.
And not be selfish.
You're killing it, brother. I mean...
And the way you're so calm, you're like,
he's
you
very
know,
calm about it, right?
Not winning, you know, just five awards, you know, like...
Yeah,
you're
like
so
I'm
calm
there.
About it.
But like, in my mind, I feel like I haven't really achieved what I want to achieve. Okay. So as long as I'm not being nominated for such and such projects, I feel like I'm not winning yet.
Wow. Do you feel in Zimbabwe in general celebrate their own, or they only start celebrating you when you're now being seen on Scandal or you're being seen on BET or on whatever?
It's always like that. It's the same as family.
Yeah.
They'll complain about what you do up until it starts paying.
Yeah.
So I'm not bothered by that.
Okay.
Because I know people are like that.
Yeah.
In general.
So I've learned to accept that, but I'm still trying to push hard and shame people and those who are
shame
blocking
people.
My path. Because I feel like there are a lot of forces that are blocking my way.
Come on, brother, preach.
People are blinding their eyes. They act as if they don't see the projects out there.
So you feel people don't act, they act like they don't see.
Like there's a lot of should we call it clicks that are happening.
Yeah, and pretense to.
And the fact that singamangani about DJs and people who make things happen, so it makes it hard for us who are not friends with those people.
But that's also, but I feel like now with the age of internet, I'm sure you would agree with me, there's like, it's now easier to reach a wider audience.
Yeah.
You don't need the traditional way of doing stuff now.
Yeah. That's why I woke up and I was like, you know what, I'm going to release this EP for my people. I was releasing it for radio or whatever.
I was releasing
it for the people.
It will find itself on radio.
If they want to.
If they want to put it on, they'll put it on.
But you can say screw that. I mean, we're going to come back to your EP because I think we're tired of talking about you. Laura.
Wow.
I'm saying to you.
We're
going
to come back to you. I really want to talk about the EP.
I'm sweating, bro.
From talking.
You're like, yo.
Imagine
yo.
How much do you sweat?
Yo.
It's another level. Laura, I want to talk about you and your work and your studying. What are you currently doing and what you're currently working on?
Currently, I am just working on personal growth and just healing.
Mm-hmm.
And on the side, just to help me heal, I'm writing, you know, a bunch of poems. I recently finished writing a little short, cute little memoir. And I'm just working on publishing that. And then hopefully, you know, people get to see what I have to say. Because I think it's worth, you know, seeing and listening to and just talking about and actually raising conscious awareness of certain issues that happen.
Yeah.
You know?
When you talk about that, some time back, I was going through Twitter and also the newspaper. There's an article that came in and then you were talking about how a gentleman who's in the film industry, Lenin Sivanda, I think, Darwin Sivanda, right? How he manipulated you, and also just how he would promise that he's going to help you with your career in the entertainment industry, and then he went on to actually abuse you in the process of trying to help you. And I had someone on the show that time, I think Lady Chawe and ASAP were talking about this, and I realized that in many cases, artists themselves do not, they are there, they have the voice to sing, they have the talent to act, but then they don't have the voice for the community. Because I asked about that question when I had that conversation, and then it was wrapped under the carpet.
Yeah.
Take me through that process. What happened exactly, and what is it that was the outcome from that experience?
Do you guys have tissue? It's about to get deep in here. At that time, I was very, very, very scared, to be very honest, because from the moment I spoke out about it, through when people were now asking me all these questions, you know, come and talk on radio. I had people from Kulumani, you know, reach out and, you know, come and talk about this issue. I was very scared. I think personally, because I've spent a lot of time thinking about this, I think when someone goes through something like that and they don't have, you know, the right support system, you will act out.
You know,
you will do weird things, like how I made that threat. That wasn't supposed to be out there, right? But I was very angry and I was scared. And I was acting in retaliation of this fear of him, right? So when people are like, why is she not speaking out? Why is she not going on radio? Why is she not talking, you know, on the newspapers and stuff? I was scared.
Yeah, but also
of him.
Someone cannot detect the way you're supposed to act. I think how you act when you go through an experience, it's not like it's a textbook, like you open page one, it's like this, open page three. I think it's like
You're not prepared for anything.
Yeah. You're not prepared for anything.
But anything that helps you to take out that...
You will just take it, right? You will just take it. And when you ask that question, and when Lady Chawe just, you know, just, oh shame, oh, you know, and she just rubbed it under the rug. That was very hurtful, you know, because I looked up to her. You know, I used to go to church and like, this woman is amazing.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, the problem is people act like they understand how you feel, or they act like they've been through that, the way that they are just rubbing a shoulder, like just forget as if or not they've been through that kind of experience, which is not cool.
But also, I mean, while we're still trying to get Laura back, I feel like, what do you think about our current artists, you know, the persons that are in this entertainment industry? Do we have a voice? Or we're just there to sing or to just act? Do you feel our current artists actually have a voice or an opinion on certain social issues that are happening? Like now, we have 16 days of activism that's going on. Do you feel like only artists come in at that particular time, or in general, do we have a voice? That's the question I'm trying to get.
We do have a voice. That's the reason why we're here in the first place as musicians. We're influential. But the problem now is our focus is on money and commercializing.
Now...
That's where it's just like a corner. Because if you look at Beka or Tupac, they used to speak about these kind of issues, like everything that happened around society.
Yeah.
But Tina, now we are focusing on airplay and getting those money gigs out there. So that's why most artists are now running away from talking about these kind of issues.
Because no one wants to. It's now become a very boring topic. To be honest. So...
You touched on clicks, and I'm gonna come back to you because I never recovered you. when you went through that, or when Lenin took advantage of you, did you approach certain people in the creative space, certain individuals that you thought this could be helpful, but then you realized because we're in clicks, there was some sort of like protectiveness that happened, or they actually did something to help you?
I didn't approach anyone. When I spoke out about what happened, like I said, a lot of people reached out, but it wasn't exactly like, oh, I'm there for you till the end.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah.
I'm there for you till you say who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I said who he was, that's when people, you know, this must be a misunderstanding. Like, he could never do such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's such a nice person. You know, like, I don't dispute that he's a nice person,
mm-hmm.
but you can have two very contradictory parts of someone existing.
True.
Yeah, at the same time, you know, right now we're all talking, you know, we're looking all nice and healthy, but you know, you might have some freaky habits, you know, back home.
True.
And no one will know, but someone might know your freaky habits, and that's fine. And then when they come and tell us, like, ah, this guy, you know, he's, we're going to be like, ah, no, that's impossible, because when I know him as a certain person, and that's what I went through when people just really did not believe that this person could be capable of this. You know, I didn't believe it myself, because when we first started working together, he was a good person, and then it just changed. So no one really helped.
You know what's funny is that when I went through your thread, obviously I don't know how to reach out. I like you're saying, sometimes you would have not gone through that experience, so you can't
too soon, like,
I didn't know what to
do, first
of all, but the person that I used to talk to was also learning. So I said to him, I'm like, what is going on? What did you do? And then he was also like, you know, obviously everyone else has
their own flaws.
And then they also become defensive about stuff. But then for me, why I'm bringing this up, and I also don't want you to be very uncomfortable and dwell into it too much, is because I feel that we go, for example, I'm not really for things like 16 days of activism. I feel like, why do we allow certain organizations to come and say, oh, we're going to focus on 16 days of activism and gender-based violence for a certain period of time. But what happens throughout the year?
Nothing.
You know, what happens throughout the year?
we
forget about it.
Yeah.
And then we want to commemorate it on that particular time. So throughout the year, women are being abused.
Guys are being abused, yes, exactly.
Rape cases are going on. We forget about it, and then we only focus on it on this particular time. Why? So what happens throughout the whole year? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What happens throughout the whole year?
And I feel like the whole thing, you know, TSS celebrated like only in November, December. It's making things worse. Because right now, I'm a month on killer and I said there's 2 days.
And then
those are the months that
things happen.
And
most women don't get the time to have the opportunity to speak about that. So just so Melela, there's 16 months to listen to all these stories now, and it becomes too much.
No,
for
but that's the
digest.
Thing. Like, even though we're focusing on this, like, these 16 days, someone can say something in January, but what is your reaction to it?
That's the
problem. Because we, even now, like, everyone's just focusing on the problem. The problem is abuse is happening, yes, but we're not looking at the cause, which is all of us as a society are feeding into that whole abuse to begin with. Because when someone says, you know what, this happened to me, you're going to be like, ah, you know, okay, for example, ungahambe ekhaya, and a woman is beat up. What does her family tell her? You know,
trauma,
we're feeding into that problem. So then now when we're discussing the problem, and we're not discussing the cause and the reason why this is happening in the first place, it's useless to begin with. All of this is useless. And what's going to happen, unfortunately, is one day we're all going to be like, ah, this is useless, let's just wipe all of it out. Like how it's like how it is with feminism. Like, at first it was okay, but now because modern feminists are now like over exaggerating the whole thing, now people are not really taking it seriously. If you understand what I'm saying. So it's the same thing with abuse. We talk about it all the time, but no one really cares because we're not looking at the actual cause of the problem to begin with.
But I also feel like right now it's time that women support each other. Because I feel like women are crushing each other instead of supporting each other. You get women abazom criticize or say, ah, namanga, instead of them supporting her.
But I don't think it's just I don't even think it's a women issue. I think it's everyone's issue, because
everyone's
it can happen
issue.
To my sister, it can happen to your daughter, it can happen to your mother, it can happen to your aunt. So I feel like the other problem that we have, we sort of like
we lack sympathy for someone who we're not closely acquainted with.
Exactly.
So when it happens, it's very foreign. to you, because it's not your sister, it's not your mother, it's not someone close to you. So you're like, you know, sorry for her, but I'm cool, you know.
I'm strong. Yeah, but what you said,
you know. Yeah. So that's the problem, and that's the, you know, cause of the problem.
Wow. And also, I think the fact that we've segmented the, you know, we have segmented certain things for, this is for women, this is for men, but then it's an entire community, an entire Zimbabwe, we're going through these issues. Mm-hmm. I mean, issues of, you know, abuse in the entertainment industry in Zimbabwe started way back.
Yeah.
I think there was a course also, unfortunately, the legendary Oliver Mtukudzi was once accused for certain things, and that came up. And obviously, as a community, the community tends to protect those that they don't. Like what you were saying, people tend to praise those that they know, because like, who's Laura? But it was Zuleni. But then Laura is just went through the same devastating experience. I want to find.
We don't learn.
But I do want to learn.
Because we're not focusing on the right thing.
Again and again.
Because we're not focusing on the right thing. For example, in South Africa, how many pictures have you retweeted in a year of a missing girl?
Yeah.
How many?
Yeah.
And nothing has been done. It's just like, ah, shame, retweet.
Retweet.
But nothing is happening in real life. We're not taking all of this into a real life situation where this girl comes to you, she's like, my boyfriend is beating me up. You know, you're just like, ah, sore. And then the next
thing,
you
know, you think you've paid
you retweet and you think you've done something, but you're not taking it. You're not taking it into a real life situation. You know,
Laura, for you, what was your, what was one thing or that you are doing or you did to sort of like recover or find yourself? Because obviously when you go through a certain experience, I don't know what you went through.
Yeah.
I can never know because it was not me. But then obviously there's someone else who's like, you know what, I'm in this entertainment space. I tried to reach out to MJ Sings and then MJ Sings took advantage of me and he touched me inappropriately, or he forced me to have a sexual intercourse with him, or he forced me to kiss him, or whatever way that doesn't involve consent. It's wrong and it's not acceptable. But what was your dealing with it? Because you can't move away from it. I mean,
you can't. It'll always feel like it happened yesterday, to be very honest.
Yeah.
It'll always feel fresh. And I think with me, because no one really believed me, so I didn't even get professional help.
Wow.
You know? So I used to spend hours, guys, are you listening to me? Hours just going on Google and just trying to understand my thought process as an individual. And whatever I got, I used to write it down, and then I compiled a journal, which I then turned into a memoir, because at the same time I used to talk to other victims. I used to talk to, you know, other people who've been through certain similar situations. And I realized that although our situations are very different, our pain is the same. You know, and that really helped me, I guess, just to know that, you know what, I'm not the first person. You know, I can get through this just like this other person. And one day I will be fine. And in my situation, it's just really scary to know that, you know, I can bump into him one day. I don't know what I'm going to do when that happens.
And that's like something you live with every day.
Every
like,
day.
What happens if I bump into him?
Any day. What happens if I just see him in the street? What do I do? I don't know what I'm going to do, to be honest.
Wow. I mean, I wouldn't know what to say. I wouldn't know what to do. But I feel like the cycle needs to be broken in some way. Abuse in general needs to be broken. People taking advantage of another person in general just needs to be broken. And it's, I don't know how where we can start. I don't know what we can
We should stop sugarcoating it and start being
stop
serious about it.
Stop sugarcoating, yeah.
Because we're now making it sound like a usual thing. Like
it's just a usual thing. It's just another.
It's like an event that needs to happen. So we have a conversation about it.
You get it, the whole thing when you hear Kalao is coming this year, you're like, okay.
You know, this happened. You know. Let's move on.
It happens all the time.
Yeah, because we also had a case with Coolio. Coolio was also, we went to court. He was accused apparently of touching some girl at a concert inappropriately. I think he touched her boobs or something. Then it went to the courts. I think it was in the newspapers about twice or something like that. I don't know if you read about it, but it was such a huge story. And I feel it's not just in the arts sector, even in workspaces, the corporate spaces, there's need to just deal with people taking advantage of other people sexually or, you know, realizing that the other person needs their help, and then we take advantage by asking them to do certain things for them or whatever, and especially without their consent. Because for me, the biggest issue is like, if someone does not agree with what you want them to do, stop doing it.
Don't do it. Do not do it.
Do not do anything.
Not at all.
I don't get it. Okay, if you want to touch women, Nazana opposite Red Cafe, we gave you guys one. But still, we're still having these cases. I don't understand.
We do have. But also, we do have them, and then also, as cliques, we protect each other.
You protect your own pack. Always protect their pack.
You see what I mean? And then it's that issue that we have, because even if there's... It's almost like what happens in the government. Not that I'm trying to compare your situation to that. But, you know, if, in the government, if another minister does something corrupt, the entire system corrupts that... I mean, protects that person.
Yeah.
So it's just swept under the carpet. And I feel like sometimes also, people were quick to... run to hear the story so that we can, like, you know, the newspapers we're approaching, for them it's another achievement,
it's just another story.
But
and that really upset me, if I must say, because they were sensationalizing the story instead of actually looking at the cause, at the reason why I spoke out in the first place. This happens. Maybe I'm the only person that dealt with him personally, but this happens. Maybe it happens with other people. And I expected certain people, you know, in high positions to actually say, you know, this happens. She's not crazy. Because I felt very crazy at that certain point in time, because no one actually said, no, she's right. This happens. This happened before with this and this and this. You know, let's stop this. What can we do to stop this? What can we do to help her? What can we do to, you know, make sure this doesn't happen again? What happened is, oh, this happened. Oh my gosh, this dude, he did this. Ha!
Definitely,
you know,
will happen to the next person.
It's probably happening
right now.
You know, because nothing was done about it. And I understand that maybe I didn't move forward with the situation because I was scared. I was still trying to figure, I wasn't emotionally strong and capable to deal with that. So I felt like, because I didn't do anything, people were like, ah, she's not serious, let's just move on. And that's not the case. I was serious, and the situation did happen, and it happens, and it's happening, and, you know, something more should have been done.
What do you think would have been done in your case and in any other case?
I think in my case, people should have just accepted the truth. You know, stop calling me crazy. I'm not crazy. And like I said, going back to when I almost broke down, when Lady Chawe swept that under the rug, that's fine. Maybe it's because she was also a bit maybe confused. I can't speak for her.
Yeah.
But I felt like, as a woman in the industry who has achieved so much, you have an ethical obligation to say something about it. Because it might happen to your little sister. It might happen to someone in your family. You're going to speak about it when it happens. But as someone who looks up to you personally, I really did look up to her. You had an ethical obligation to say, no, this happens. You know, maybe you've seen it happen with someone else. Maybe not, but... you could have done something more to actually make sure that people that do this in the industry are afraid to actually carry on. Because at this point, they're not afraid, you know?
They're not afraid.
They're just gonna wake up, size another day, another victim. You know, it shouldn't be like that. You have to shake the table and make sure it cracks. You know, and make sure people standing on that table fall and they really feel the pinch of what they're doing. Because at this point, no one is, you know, really caring about what's happening in the industry.
Wow. What do you think we could do better, MJ? Because you are in the arts industry, you are in the entertainment industry, where abuse is going on in circles, full circle all the time. It's a cycle that's not being broken. What do you think can be done?
I think right now we're misusing our voices as artists. Because you get artists...
So our voice is artists.
Exactly. You get artists being vocal about useless things and ignoring things that they should be speaking out about. But you get them being vocal about cool cat shows, hey, how it was a flop and all that.
Yeah.
And there is a big issue right here that needs to be spoken about. But it's too late.
So would you say I'm right when I say that I think in Zimbabwe we do have talented people, but most of our artists don't have a voice? I don't mean a voice in terms of you can sing. I don't mean the voice because in terms of you can present or you can act. But we do have incredibly talented people, but they lack a voice. Yeah. Would you say that is true? Would you agree with me, or I'm way out of line?
No, it's definitely true. It's definitely true.
Because for me, what
this
the voice,
this is a case study.
Yeah.
If she's saying no,
it should not even be a case study. Already that makes it wrong because it's not a study.
No, no, I'm saying we should learn from what happened with her story. Because we didn't do anything or say anything about it as artists.
We're quick to sing
and,
about it.
And it's already happening to the next person right now.
Yeah.
Probably.
Because I had the same thing.
Yeah.
So we should learn from what happened.
And, the victim's probably not going to say anything because they're going to be like,
And let's not make it history. Let's start doing something about it now. Because I saw Ndelule, she hasn't healed. So we need to do something about that.
What help would you say you would need to sort of like, what one thing do you feel like you need that could make you sort of like try to, well, I mean, you're dealing with it, but try to actually make wider strides towards healing?
Towards healing, I think with me, because I'm a perfectionist.
Yeah.
I like to have control over a certain situation.
Mm-hmm.
So with this situation, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't have control. You know, whatever happens, happens. When he threatened to sue me, you know, I was looking for lawyers. I had 5, 6, 7 lawyers in my contact list.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask them, you know, what's going to happen now? What am I going to do? You know, and I made the decision to then go and actually report him.
Mm-hmm.
But did the case move forward? No.
Did you report to the police?
Yes.
Okay.
And nothing really happened from there. The last time I spoke to them, they told me, no, Sizambiza, I will come in and give a statement and we'll call you back. And they've never called me back.
Wow.
They haven't called me back. And I need that closure.
Yeah.
I need that closure to know some, you know, just an apology at least.
Mm.
Dora, I'm sorry for what I did to you.
Mm.
Right now he's enjoying his life and that hurts me, because it's like you did something to me and you have no remorse whatsoever. And I read a blog post on Culture Mag.
Okay.
And they were saying that he's releasing a new movie.
Yeah.
I think I remember I read that and I just broke down.
So life just moved on.
Because like he just moved on, and people are still willing to look at him after what he did.
Wow.
People are still willing to celebrate him, and you know, that for me was just, I need professional help. I need a strong support system, and I definitely need closure.
Yeah, it's wow. Because you for me, what you said. I mean, there's something that you said, like even an apology.
Just an apology.
Like, just an apology. For me, that's like,
okay, Elijah.
Wow.
Just an apology.
Because I feel like she deserved that.
Yeah.
You know, even though I am not saying, like, because his complaint is that he didn't do it right.
Mm-hmm.
But he should apologize, at least. With, okay, I'm sorry if it's such and such a thing.
Because he says you had consensual sex, right? That's what he says.
Yeah.
That it's, we both were agreeing to that, and then you are saying no, it was not consensual. So now, for you, the closure is the most important thing that you're looking for. Even just an apology. For me, I mean, that's like, I mean, there's so much that someone takes away from you when they abuse you, or they force you to do things. They take certain part of you, and you're not even asking for all those certain parts to come back. You're simply saying, I want an apology for someone to come before me and say, I'm sorry, this happened. And that hasn't happened for you.
It has not happened at all.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's really crazy. But I think, Labandula, we should start doing our jobs. People should start, like,
as a community.
I don't understand, you know? Tamapole is why we pressure out such a big issue. What are they doing there that's really serious?
Yeah.
Basically, call you about this issue.
So we already have a problem in the whole community.
We have a big problem.
The police are meant to protect us. And I know in Zimbabwe that's just like a, you know, it's like a stupid thing to say. It's like what you call.
But I feel like the whole world is now turning into that.
Zimbabwe. Police are meant to protect people, but police have not been protecting us as citizens in Zimbabwe. And then for you to go and report to the police, and up to now, how many months is it that nothing has happened?
I reported in June. So it's June, July, August, September, October, November.
6 months.
6 months.
And we're still waiting.
And the weird thing, those guys have landlines, man. It's not like they have to top up a cell phone or something to call you.
Yeah. Mm.
Just a phone call, no, you know what, we're still
they're
working on that
case.
They're
lazy to look for him.
Wow.
They just lazy from the get-go. The whole system itself, I write about this, just from society to the system, we say... We're there for you and everything, but really not, to be honest. We're really, really not doing what needs to be done for things to stop and or change, you know?
What would you say, what's one big thing could we do as a society, especially in the entertainment industry, as the people of Zimbabwe, that could end abuse in general?
What can be done? Let's teach our men and women, you know, the boundaries. I think now when it comes to abuse, we want abuse to be very clear. We want it to be, you know, like this. I'm holding a tissue roll to be like this tissue roll. It's white. But abuse can be gray. Abuse can be, you know, black, gray and blue. It's very blurred now. And I feel like with abusers, that's what they use to their advantage, because abuse is so blurred. We don't know what's right or what's wrong. And we tend to, you know, it has to be for rape to be rape. It has to be a stranger. It has to be someone who, you know, will push you to the wall. And, you know, it can be your boyfriend. It can be your husband. It can be someone very close to you. And we need to then teach everyone. It needs to be an actual school topic in the curriculum, you know, abuse. Yeah. What is abuse? How can someone abuse someone else? What can be done to stop this abuse? It doesn't have to be a definite thing, because abuse is not a definite thing. Abuse can come in stages. It can first start off as emotional and then end in physical. It can start off as physical and end in emotional. A lot of people ask women in abusive relationships, why don't you leave? Why don't you leave? Because at that moment in time, the victim is very scared.
Yeah.
It might be their boyfriend. They love that man, you know? So a lot goes into a victim's mindset when all of this is happening. And I feel like as a society as well, we need to know how to deal with such situations as a collective group, because we didn't come into this world alone.
You know,
you know, the whole essence of Ubuntu has to come in now, where we help each other, civilian, and we see what's the way forward as a community, you know. And I think we lack a lot of that these days, because if it happens to someone you don't know, you don't care.
That's it.
Basically. So that needs to change. Sorry, that needs to change, basically.
Wow.
I'm not. Let me hydrate,
what I really
guys.
I really appreciate is that you are able to, I think, one step forward. I mean, I'm not an expert, but one important thing is when you're able to share your story. I think there's a time when I tweeted about depression. I went through depression sometime, and I tweeted about it. For me, sharing that story, for me, it sort of was a way of me
letting it out.
Letting it out, and sort of like dealing with it, because you get to hear from different people, and people feeding like, wow, I went through the same experience. And you realize, first of all, that you are not on your own. There's actually people that do care. But it's just that sometimes there's a whole larger amount of people that do not care. So for you to find the ones that care, you need to take a certain step forward. And I appreciate that you're writing about it, because it might be a way of dealing with it, but obviously they still need to have professional help for you to move forward, and for you to also just also come to face to face with them, so you don't have anxiety all the time. That if this guy could just come forward and say, Lenin, bruh, apologize, have a conversation face to face, it will help you move forward, because you don't want to be tormented all the time. It's like a ghost, it's like a shadow that's still there that needs to come eventually show up.
It's not even really that hard, but
it's really
just
hard.
Say I'm sorry.
Come on, it's just sincerely said. It's just not
But I'm saying, like, for you to even ignore and and act as if you didn't. It's like huge, as if you're paying imali or anything. He needs to come forward and apologize.
He needs to. I just think they, even the authorities, need to come forward and sort it out.
Yeah. At times I wish we were like Hollywood. Hollywood would really block everything. Like, you won't even be releasing a movie when I did something like that.
Yeah.
So really, Latis Omero, you need to step up and speak out and do something about it.
Wow. I appreciate what you've just done, having a conversation about your experience, and obviously just
coming here.
No, I really appreciate. I really, really, really appreciate, and I feel like a lot more of us could do something about it. And if you are in the position where you are the one that's able, like now the police that are able to make action, they need to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But also us as artists, there's no point in you constantly doing a show on Cliff Central, but then it's just a show talking about entertainment, but we're not touching on real issues that matter, real issues that affect people, which is why I said in the beginning that I'm really totally against the, you know, the World AIDS Day being a one day commemoration, 16 days of activism being over 16 days.
And then
what happens to us when we go through, when people are having careless sex from January to December, and then we're not creating some sort of, like, we're not talking about that, and there's HIV AIDS contraptions, and I mean people are getting HIV AIDS during that time. What happens to when someone is being abused from January to December, and then we only get to 16 days? And that's when you see our celebrities coming up and talking about it. How stupid is that?
That's what we do with everything, like how depression awareness. I think there was a period where everyone, you know, check up on your friends.
Yeah.
We say that, but we don't really do it. Because when your friend comes and they tell you, you know, I'm going through something, you're like, mawan, you know.
You know what I mean?
And then you leave it. And then you only care when they die. Mm. Or when there's a world recognition of that situation during a certain period of time.
So
we sensationalize a lot of things.
People are monetizing from all those.
From
like
all of this, yes. Yes.
They're monetizing and exploiting through those kind of.
So it's just a way of just.
It's a way of making money. It's a way of making money.
Because like now I'm seeing there's a global citizen that we, I'm just gonna quickly move into. The global citizen. Oh, we're having a concert to end.
People care about the tickets.
I'm like, dude. People actually care about going to see Beyonce perform.
Beyonce, three quarters of the people who have bought tickets or who wanna go to that event, they don't
they
even
just,
know anything
they don't
about
care.
What it's about.
Mm-hmm.
They just wanna see Beyonce. Jay-Z, they wanna see Beyonce and all these other big artists.
Yeah.
They don't care about it.
So then that's already a wrong approach, even from the organizers themselves, from whoever came up with the idea. I think then it's a wrong approach, because as much as we're attracting people through these big artists, but then what's from there, what's on, what are we doing after?
But do you blame the organizer or the people? Because the organizer is making money. Good
for
him.
Wow.
It's good for him. It's business, you get it?
Wow.
So the people should start being wise and opening their eyes.
But that's globally. But in Zimbabwe, we claim to be educated people. What exactly are we educated about then if we're not able to, you know have
something.
This conversation and do something about it? We keep complaining. I mean, we obviously, the 2019 budget that was just released and whatever, there was a whole lot of talk around it. There's taxes on everything that we buy. the 2% tax. Then there's all these other things. There's gender-based violence happening. There's abuse happening. But then, what are we doing with our education? What exactly are we educated about? To talk about these things or to just keep quiet?
I think 2018 really proved that we're not smart as we
There's this quote that says, I am wise because I know nothing. I think, I'm wise because I know nothing. We know too much that simple things like this, someone was abused. Do something. Do you know, I want you, no, this is wrong. Hey, it's supposed to go like this. That then we're not as wise as we should be. Because Zimbabwe, we do have a lot of education and stuff, but we're not really, you know, applying common sense in certain situations.
We're very educated.
But we're not applying common sense, which is simple things. We're not really taking that into consideration when it comes to certain situations. So, you know.
Because we're just about to wrap up the show. Yes, we've been talking for a long time. And I still want to come back to your new project so that we wrap up on, you know, before we get to play your song. if there's a young, another young woman that's going through the same experience or what you went through, what would you say to her? Yeah, another young woman, another young man, what would you say to them that could help them right now? Because for me, I really applaud that you're already dealing with it by writing. Okay. Having a conversation about it, for me, that's like a huge step forward. It's a huge step forward. And maybe you might not notice it, you might not know it, but
she's super
you are brave. You are like, you are such a strong person. And you are a Wonder Woman, not the movie, but you are literally an existing Wonder Woman.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. I mean, you are that, so really. What would you say to someone who's going through abuse or who's been abused by someone without, you know, them agreeing to whatever is happening?
I think, first off, establish a support system.
Yeah.
Know who will actually be there for you.
Yeah.
And then define what happens, what happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
Call a thing a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Say, you know what, this happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't deny and be like, but maybe I should have done this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, maybe I contributed. Don't define a thing a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Call it out. This happened to me. This person did this to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that will give you strength to then stand up to the person.
Mm-hmm.
Because with what happened to me, I was very confused.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what was going on. You know, I didn't know, you know, is this right? Is this wrong?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember I told a bunch of people what happened straight after it happened.
Yeah.
And the week post what happened.
Yeah.
And I used to say he kinda raped me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was very confused.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know the definition of rape.
Mm-hmm.
Because the definition was very, he has to be someone that you don't know, he, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
If you're going through that, you have to know, you have to really know what happened to you, and you have to accept what happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then that will,
so it's about
genuinely
establishing exactly what happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
Accepting.
And then that will help you then stand up to the person, stand up to what happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
and do what needs to be done. Go
mm-hmm.
to the police, you know, talk to people who will actually be there for you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know your people.
Wow.
You have to know your people.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
It is an inspiration.
Right?
Okay,
thank you so much. I mean, it's incredible. I'm sure there's like 1,000 more people that are listening to you and they're like, wow, she's standing up and she's sharing her story. And it's incredible that you get to find, to deal with it. And obviously, we're going to seek more help, professional help.
Mm-hmm.
But you finding strength from yourself and saying, you know what? And even coming up with this, like, know what exactly happened, accepting it, and then take action.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that everyone else could is able
to learn from,
draw inspiration
mm-hmm.
from. And I personally appreciate you coming out and having this conversation. Because I'm again, like I said, I'm against this whole 16 days of exorcism.
Mm,
what
mm.
happens to people from January
from
to December?
January
it should
to
be 365
December.
Days
no.
of activism. Every single day should be a day of activism against atrocities, against things that lead to a violation of human rights per se.
Mm.
So bravo to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
MJ, because we're about to close, tell me about your new project. We're going to hear from MJ, Laura.
I bore you guys.
Sing.
Your new project. I mean, is this your first project, like the EP? Because you don't have an album yet, right?
Yeah, this is my first ever EP.
Yeah.
It's called Soul and Mind. It's
yeah.
a 3-track EP.
Mm-hmm.
It's a teaser of the 2019 album.
Mm-hmm.
So we just wanted to give people something that they can listen to.
When I saw Soul and Mind, I thought of Lira. I am a
I won't lie, she's an inspiration.
Yeah.
I won't lie, she's an inspiration.
I love her.
But to me it was different because when I was working throughout the whole project, I stepped back and I reached out to my soul and I really thought about what to do on this project. Because
mm-hmm.
the last project that I released, a lot of people felt like we have lost the MJ Singh that we were introduced to
mm-hmm.
on the first song that
yeah.
you once did.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go back and really think deep about who am I, what I want to accomplish as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it came about.
Yeah. So when are we expecting the album? I think I have like 2 minutes before we
start. 2019. We haven't really set the dates yet, but the songs are almost complete.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, y'all expect that.
You should expect that. MJ, Laura, I appreciate you guys coming through and sharing your story. We're going to play out with your song, and people can, where can they get your music actually?
It's going to be on iTunes in a few days' time, and it's already out there on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Then for those in Zimbabwe, you can purchase it on EcoCash.
Mm. So you need to be an artist also with a voice, so maybe Laura should write a song.
Laura should write a lot of songs for me.
And you can sing, and maybe it can be different, because most of our artists are just there, but they lack a voice at all. They don't have any say, they have no opinion on social issues.
Mm-hmm.
They just sing. When you ask them about something, they're like, oh, shame. But no, that's why you are an artist, and that's why you have a following. Mm. Use your following to advocate for certain things. So
work out something, probably. Something this
interesting fact. I used to write raps, guys.
Write raps? Do you wanna see some raps?
No, y'all not ready. You're not ready. No, I used to write raps, and then I then progressed to poetry. So
okay,
we should do something.
So where do we get to read your stuff? What, do you have a blog? Do you have time, where you're gonna publish? When are you publishing?
Yes, I have a blog right now, and I'm releasing a chapter from my memoir for the next 16 days.
Uh-huh.
And you should definitely follow me on Twitter at Laura Nazanin. And then you'll just find the links to my blog, and you guys should definitely go there and see, you know, what I have to say.
All right, where do we follow you?
On Twitter, Instagram, it's at @im_MJSings. Facebook, MJ Sings. Then yeah, you can check out the blog also, www.mjsingsonline.wordpress.com.
Wow. You all should have a website like some of us, but anyway.
We're getting there.
I know, guys, thank you so much. A huge shout out to MJ Sings and Laura for coming through and sharing information about things that they're experiencing as young Zimbabweans, and what we need to do as Zimbabweans to take action and stop abuse in our communities, and talk about other issues that really matter in our communities, and also having our Zimbabwean artists having a voice, not just saying and entertain, but actually with just being an empty vessel. I'm very excited that we had this conversation, and we can find solutions, and someone can pick some inspiration from what you guys shared. And thank you for coming through.
And happy birthday!
Oh, happy birthday! Alright, for myself, Gilmore T. Until next week, same time, same place.
Hey guys, this is Laura. You're listening to the Gilmore T Vibe on Clip Central. Thank you for tuning in.
This is CliffCentral.com.